ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, the Hamsa Kuya Prayers, and we're taking up at text number 18. Yatasa Sarja Putani Daksho Duhitra Vatsalaha Vitasa Manasa Chaiva Tanmama Vahita Shunu Yata as Sasarja created Bhutani, the living entities. Dakshaha, Daksha, Duhitra Vatsalaha, who is very affectionate to his daughters. Ritasa, by semen. Manasa, by the mind. Cha, also. Eva, indeed. Tat, that. Mama, from me, avahita, being attentive, shrunu, please hear. Shukadev Goswami continued, please hear from me the great, with great attention, how Prajapati Daksha, who is very affectionate to his daughters, created different types of living entities through his semen and through his mind. Please repeat. Shukadev Goswami continued.
Please hear from me,
with great attention, how Prajapati Daksha, who is very affectionate to his daughters, created different types of living entities through his semen and through his mind. Purport. The word Duhitra Vatsala indicates that all the Prajas were born from Daksha's daughters. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that apparently Daksha had no son. Once at Venice Beach, a devotee asked Prabhupada on the morning walk about what would happen if everybody became renounced and then didn't produce children. Then he said, he asked that there wouldn't be any more people here in the world. The Prabhupada said, yes, we want that. So there's a dilemma in the idea of creation, because as mentioned by the personified Vedas, the creation is for two reasons. It's given as an opportunity for the living entities to enjoy the material world. And at the same time, its ultimate purpose is to offer a chance for living entities to go back home, to purify themselves, and attain their original position as servants of Krishna. And Krishna is facilitating everyone by giving various kinds of bodies, 8,400,000 species of bodies are various kinds of facilities because of the varied consciousness of the living entities and their particular desires, which become mixed with the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And in acts of creation, there's always imperfection. As Krishna mentions in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's smoke when there's fire, and similarly in activities that are part of this creation, there's also some fault. Inevitably, and whenever there's creation, there's also destruction. So Daksha is in a situation as will be revealed more and more in this chapter, in which he's been deputed to create, but it's not the most ideal service. He prays to the Supreme Personality of God, and in these Hamsaguya prayers, which are actually extremely deep and beautiful prayers, but his underlying purpose is to be able to propagate more and more. And Prabhupada comments that this is not the ideal kind of prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that please empower me to propagate more and more in this world. So, somewhat of a dilemma. He also mentions, and we know, all of us from reading the Bhagavatam, about how Kardama Muni had meditated for 10,000 years, and then, getting the darshan of the Lord, prayed to Lord Narayan in beautiful ways as well, and then said, "And by the way, I need a wife." And Lord Narayan said, "I know, because I know everything. I've already arranged it. She'll be here in 3 days." And there's a purport in that section in which Prabhupada mentions that everyone is not expected to be on the highest level of realization, and therefore one must act according to one's nature in relationship with the Lord and one's service. Sway sway adhikariya nishta saguna parikirtita, as mentioned in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a good quality when one follows one's nature and does according to one's capacity the best service that one can. So Kardama Muni, as Prabhupada said, he had only a slight desire, but still he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead and asked for that. That was a wife, but soon afterwards he left. So Daksha is a little more involved with the mode of passion and interested in the process of creation. We hear from this verse that he creates both through seminal discharge and also through the power of his mind. So these are not ordinary living entities. They're especially empowered to create. And that creative impetus we find everywhere in the material world. But those who are seers of the truth understand the difference between that impetus for creation in the material world and that which is permanent. Nasato vitite bhavo, nabhavo vitite sata, ubayora bhutushtontas twaneyos tatvadarshibhi. The seers of tattva, of that which actually exists, analyze very carefully what's most important, that which is permanent. And they see also that which is non-permanent. And they know how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyad eva hor sambhavad, anyad ahura sambhavad, iti shushumati ranam, yenas tadvita chakshire. The Sri Upanishad said there's a difference in worshiping that which is supreme and that which is not supreme. You'll get a different result. So it's wise to understand the difference between the two, that which is permanent and that which is impermanent. It's been explained by those who are dhira, who have seen the truth. So we're given this clear idea of the material world and its various phases of creation throughout the Bhagavatam. There are many stages in which the material world is manifest and created. And it's also simultaneously being annihilated. In fact, there are annihilations that take place on regular schedule. And as mentioned in the Tattva Sandarbha, one of the phases of creation is called continuous, one of the phases of destruction, that is, is called continuous destruction, one that's always intrigued me, or the one that I can relate to the most, because I find that everything in my environment is falling apart constantly. Do you find that? Thank you. Glad you do also. And so the material world's always in flux. And ultimately, Bhagavatam points us in the direction of becoming detached from the temporary material world and fixed on the ultimate goal of life. When we read recently the third and fourth cantos of the Bhagavatam, there's detailed descriptions given by Narada Muni to King Prachinabarhi about, he gives a story about Puranjana, which is an indirect way of telling the king about his own life and what's going to happen if he continues the way he is. And Narada Muni explains the creative impetus. There's a way in which there's the attractive force between male and female, punsa striya maitini bhava metam, and he gives the natural progression of this Puranjana who becomes attracted to a woman, meets in a park and strikes up a conversation, and then is married and goes on to have offspring and lives his life and enjoys, and then is forced to leave his body and then forced to take another birth. And having that kind of perspective of both the overall creation and destruction of the material world and also seeing how it takes place within the life of an individual in the world, it gives a very important perspective to everyone who reads the Bhagavatam about how we're moving through this world in a very temporary way, and how the general impetus is for becoming entangled in the material world and finding oneself helpless, and then offering the ultimate solution, which is to become fixed in one's spiritual practice and to develop a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have the means to do that, especially by the process of Shravanam Kirtanam and the other processes of devotional service through which we can purify our senses and still, while working in the world, not become involved or to remain detached from the workings of the material world, creation and annihilation. We can become, we'll remain aware that we are not permanent fixtures in this material world. Asangho hyayam purushaha, we actually have nothing to do with the material world. And this is something that requires quite a bit of cultivation and practice in order to attain, because we're being pulled as soon as we're born in this world from the lower nature. And at the same time, human beings have the capacity to think in higher ways. Therefore, the Vedas call out to us, Atato Brahma Jignasa. So take the opportunity, try to improve yourself, ask higher questions. There's that kind of impetus as well. So humans are kind of in the middle of the creation itself. In fact, the earthly planet is squarely situated in the middle of the universe, and human beings are always in anxiety. Animals are always fearful. Demigods are always joyful, and human beings are always in anxiety. Do you find that? You're all humans, right? Do you find you're always in anxiety? Did you say yes?
Yes.
Or you just said, I'm not sure what you said.
Very often.
I just wanted to check in, because I always am. And when I read the other day that humans are naturally in anxiety, I felt better about my life, because that's just the way it is. We're pulled from both sides, but we're not meant to be joyful all the time. Human life is meant specifically for yajna, which does make one joyful. Tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam shudyet yasmat brahma saukyam tonantam. By that attention, when we direct that towards yajna, then we become actually joyful. So it's a great opportunity, human life. So these descriptions of daksha on one side seem quite fantastical, about someone who can create in by conjuring from within the mind. But if we look at the Bhagavatam as a whole, and we see how systematic it is in describing, at least in a summary way, how the creation unfolds, it's not so fantastical. It's actually very reasonable. Everything comes from somewhere. And if you ask creationists where things come from, they can't give the steps. This was something that Sariputta Prabhu used to talk about when he would challenge the evolutionists, and they'd say, well, the monkey became a human. And then he'd say, okay, well, the brain has to become bigger, much more facility, and provide much more facility. And they say, yeah, it just changed and became bigger. So that can happen with a cloud, because a cloud can be small and it gets a little bit bigger. But with a brain, it's a lot more complex. And in order to prove your theory, you'd have to tell us what the steps were. How did the neurons manifest? What were the actual stages that it took to do that? So, in the matters of creation, you can just say it all just was created. Or you can describe the steps, and nowhere else will you find such a detailed description of the various steps that take place in creation, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and in such great detail. But because in the material world, people tend to be ignorant, it's rather shocking to hear details sometimes. Details about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or about the creation and so forth, it seems almost, in some ways, it almost seems, I don't know, even grotesque sometimes to people, because they're so used to not getting such information, or ignoring it, or not even wanting to have it. I remember distributing, I was in the Denver airport for some years, and I distributed, we would distribute whatever books were given to us at the time. It was a supply chain, and we'd just be at the airport all day, and then whenever a new book was published, they'd just drive it out to the airport and say, here, distribute this now. So we'd be midstream, and then we'd get a new book. It's like, okay, excuse me, sir, take this. Individual Bhagavatams. But I remember distributing a second canto Bhagavatam to a cowboy. And he gets a second canto. How does a cowboy get a second canto Bhagavatam? It's Srila Prabhupada's arrangement. But he came back later and he said, give me my money back. I said, why? He said, just give me my money back. And he had his finger marked in one of the pages after I gave his money back. Then he handed me the book with the page open. And it was a description of the universal form, which goes into some detail. I mean, a lot of detail. And I won't go into any more detail about the detail, but he was shocked about the details that it goes into. And I just stood there thinking. It was a existential moment. You know, when I was thinking, what do people think of these books, and, you know, how can living entities digest information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead as given in the Srimad Bhagavatam? There's so much clear detail. It takes a while to adjust to that. It takes a lifestyle change in order to be able to accommodate all that. So it's a systematic process to imbibe what's in the Bhagavatam and the information that's there and the implications of that, what it means to us in general and how we're involved in the creation and the ways in which we're creating and have creative impetus and then understanding that it has an original source and understanding there's a difference between the internal and the external energies and then becoming oriented towards the internal energy and transferring our interests from personal interest to interest in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atmanam, Atmanam, because he's the soul of our soul. And as Prahlad Maharaj says, when Naivatmana Parapadayam Nijalava Purno Manam Janada Vidusad Karanovranite, that there's a way in which when we realize that he's the soul of our soul, then the same kind of investment I'm making in my own well-being, I realize by giving that to Krishna in Yajna, I'm actually benefiting. And otherwise, it's a separated endeavor and I don't actually get anything from it. So now we'll take some reflections. Anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind, or if you want to bring up a stimulating question that will bring the conversation in a new direction. Yes, Prabhu.
Earlier part of the discussion, you were mentioning how Daksha was praying for being able to propagate the entities and how that's not the best sort of prayer, but it was acting according to his position. So oftentimes we have a hard time processing this in our own spiritual life, like being idealistic and then just being realistic. And it's like one of the, I like to call it a moral tension that's hard to navigate. Like when I'm offering prayers, should I offer prayers ideally? Like, dear Lord, I pray only for pure devotion to you. But it's like, but let me be more realistic. I have this desire and I'm really bewildered because, so how do we know how to navigate that? And I was also thinking about Nyamagraha, not clinging too tightly, but not clinging tightly enough to rules. And I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this sway sway adhikara yajnishtha in the context of Nyamagraha, like clinging too tightly to a safe position when I can be moving forward, but not clinging tightly enough. So I was wondering if you had any insights on this.
Well, there's Krishna gives a lot of, has a lot of empathy. First of all, he likes humans. He says so in the 11th canto. So feel happy, everybody. Krishna likes you. And then there's a way in which he also understands the various phases that spiritual practitioners go through. For instance, jata shada makkatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukatmakam kamams prityagi panishvara tobjeta maprita shradalur chudanishchaya jushamanams tatankaramams Dukho Dharkams Jagarayam. He describes, does Krishna, the interim situation where one has awakened faith in hearing his glories but and understands the futility of material enjoyment in entertaining the senses in the material world. He knows that it leads to misery, but still, Pratyagi Panishvari, he doesn't have the power to not engage. So Krishna says, it's all right, go on. Be happy with the fact that you're on the path. Tatoba jetamam prita, shradalu jnanishchaya. Continue with faithfully on the process. You can be a little repentant, but don't become chronically morose about the fact that you're not in the situation you want to be in. And there's a lot of encouragement. Krishna says, of course, in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, api cet sudaracharo pachate mamananyapak sadariva samantavyasam yavasitohi saha, that is, if one is situated properly, now that the faith is there, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and despite all one's others, despite having all kinds of other disqualifications, if one has that and is determined to serve Krishna, despite one's other disqualifications, then he says, Shripam Bhavati Dharma Shashvash Chantim Nagashati, that he'll be successful by continuing in that way. And so in a practical sense, as far as offering prayers honestly, that I may not feel like offering a prayer that, Krishna, you do whatever you want with me. Like Prithu Maharaj says, like a child prays to the father, is like, I don't know what to do, you decide. Are you willing to do that? Is your heart in it? And so forth. And maybe not. So, of course, the Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama utarati. It's always encouraging us, whatever you have, bring it to Krishna because you've come purified. And there's so many stories about that, like Dhruva Maharaj, etc. And Krishna says, chaturvidha bhajante mam janasukritino arjanam, names there's different motivations that people have in approaching him, and says, udarak sarva evaite, they're all magnanimous because they're approaching me. And as a practical matter, we have prayers by the great acharyas. For instance, singing the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Amara Jivana, where he's showing the heart of a pure devotee as this sense of dainya, utter humility. And I find that when devotees read that together, they resonate with that, even though one may not be on that level. One resonates with that. In fact, when we had a copy of the Sharanagati and we were reading that together when I was having programs at my house, all the devotees said, I gotta have that. I have to have a copy of this because I want to read it again and again. It invokes that. It's sort of a following the footsteps of the great acharyas and reading their prayers is very powerful. It invokes that feeling by catching on to their energy, their devotional energy. And at the same time, as you mentioned, Niyamagraha, I believe it's in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita where Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about how one shouldn't try to move too fast. He quotes Swaiswe Adhikariya Nishta. And it's like he said it's like climbing a ladder. And he said if you try to run up the ladder without putting your feet on the rungs squarely, then you slip. He said, but also if you don't move up to the next rung when you have the opportunity, then he says your advancement will be distant. Take you a long time. And he compares it, as you said, to Niyamagraha. So I think that there's that balance that we have to be very aware of our situation and relating to Kardama Muni, that he had some desire. And Prabhupada said, it's okay. It's actually reasonable to perform at the level that you're at. It's a good quality. So do that. And at the same time, hold on to the concept of pure devotional service by following the footsteps of the great acharyas and praying the prayers that they prayed and try to enter into that. And in time, one will come to that situation and be able to genuinely feel like that and express that utter dependence on Krishna as he recommends in the Bhagavad Gita. Just completely depend on me. Don't worry about anything else. I basically just repeated what you said. I hope there was something in it that was helpful. Any other reflections? Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question. You were speaking about how you gave the second chapter to a cowboy.
Yes.
And you distributed like thousands and then brought your life. I'm just wondering, what happens at that time, if you're looking at someone's hand and they somehow just gave it, is it a divine intervention that happens?
When you put the book in their hand and they take it? Yeah, it's a great mystery.
Yeah.
It's a great mystery. And last night when we were coming back from the program, we got in the cab, And the driver said, "Are you guys Krishnas?" He said, "We sure are." And he goes, "Yeah, I got a question for you." What was his question, Virabhadra? He said, I was listening to a yeah, he said there was something on the radio. It was some program he was listening to, and a question came up, said, "How come you don't see Hare Krishnas in airports anymore?" So I gave him a summary of that. And then he said, "So why did it come up?" And he said, "Oh, well, it was a whole discussion about meditation." He said, "It was hard for me to..." he said, "It was hard for me to relate to what they were saying." I said, "What were they saying?" He said, "Well, they were saying your soul's different from the body." He said, "You know, I can understand that, but I kind of, in some ways, I don't want to understand it." He was very honest and open, and then soon the Bhagavad Gita was being thrust up to the driver's seat. And well, okay, great. And by the time we got out, you know, he took the book and he gave a donation, and he said, "This is the best ride I've ever taken in my life." And we felt like it was something out of a staged Hare Krishna movie or something. And those mysteries, it's because Virabhadra Prabhu then said, you know, "I canceled the other cab and then got this cab instead." So who knows what Krishna has in mind for living entities. But we do the best we can to represent. And there's a point at which our enthusiasm, our desire to take, can inspire others to take when they might not have done before. And that's why we go to the trouble to do it. I mean, that's why Krishna Samaham Sarvabhuteshu, he remains neutral. But then Prabhupada said, the devotees, they're not so neutral because they understand the purpose of creation. So they really go for it and they try to bring things up to another level and interest people. They're always working with everything to try to get people closer. Let's try to attract their attention. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it too. He changed into sannyasi dress to attract people so they, you know, get more involved in the movement. It's been... Yes, Prabhu?
A follow-up question. So, you know, Krishna is usually neutral, right? But when in that process of giving someone a book, if your desire is strong enough because the super soul is in your heart and in the other person's heart, is it like two against one? Like that person doesn't want to take the book, but it's you and the super soul against...
Yeah, two against one, that's right. That's why they... At the San Francisco airport, where they gave us a booth, and they had in the paperwork, when we'd sign it, they say, "No double-teaming." Because they observed us, and they saw if there was two devotees against one person, they were like helpless, you know. So you can't double team. Yeah, so overwhelming force. That's why we try to really overwhelm people as much as possible. Virabhadra Prabhu, you were going to say?
Just a comment and reflection. After last night, I was inspired just writing a few sentences. Was equipping ourselves. Being enough that Krishna consciousness, being absorbed enough that Krishna consciousness, you're saying last night, about reading Bhagavatam, hearing the amazing pastimes, and it's basically a transformative effect, and wanting to share it, and going back and forth. So being actually with a car, with a book, with and your disciples with you in the car, and the Gitas came out, and the candies, and the cards, and
always in preparation, because even if you don't want to do it, if you're prepared, Krishna will force you. And we've seen that so many times. If you're ready for it and you're out somewhere, then Krishna will say, okay, this person's ready. Even though they're not into it, they'll send somebody to induce, they'll send somebody else and go, "Hey, what do you got there? Give me that thing," you know. I mean, there's many stories like that we can go into that are true stories, absolutely nothing fabricated. Where Krishna does that. So it's a good point. If we're just prepared, even if our mood isn't the same when we go out, then Krishna will make the arrangement. And we should always be preparing, because the material energy will overwhelm us if we don't stay in that preparatory mode always for ourselves. So that's why we're all here together and practicing every single day. You can't skip a day, because then you'll be overwhelmed. So stay in prepared mode. I thank you all very much. It's been such a wonderful visit here. I mean, it's heartrending to see what you're all doing here. It's amazing. and this is a beacon for the whole world. So keep up the great work, and I can't wait to see you all again. I'm leaving for Jagannath Puri today for our yatra, and I can't wait to get back. I'll be counting the minutes till I come back here and be in your association. Thank you very much. Gaur Premanande Hari
Gaur. Hey, Natari Armarman.